I had a patient today. I said, when was the last time you laughed? They sat and they had to think about it. And I was like, if you have to think about it, then that's something that we need to start changing. Kids, they laugh 300 to 500 times a day. Everything is super funny to a kid. And adults, they laugh about 15 times a day. And it's just kind of like a little,
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. My guest today, Dr. Jennifer Tanner, is an expert in runners. She's a naturopathic doctor. She practices here in Toronto, and she's really made it her life mission to get people moving again. Whether you are thinking about starting to move, or you are actually a seasoned runner, or frankly, racer, Jen is the ND for you. On today's podcast, we got into it all, but mostly what we really wanted to focus on is how do we actually enable runners to recover faster and prevent runner burnout. You know, it's amazing to get moving as a way to be able to mitigate the stress that we have in our lives as entrepreneurs and go-getters. But sometimes as driven people, we kind of push it too far. Dr. Tanner talks about the signs that you should be looking for, some of the programming you can put into play to avoid that burnout, and what an optimal recovery plan actually looks like. So whether you are a runner yourself, or you are a weekend warrior, or frankly, you're just someone who likes to move and be active, all of these ideas, all of this way of thinking is absolutely critical and applicable. It is my pleasure to introduce you to my friend, Dr. Jennifer Tanner. Dr. Jen Tanner, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hi, Megan. Thanks for having me.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation, and I'm so excited to be able to bring on such an esteemed expert as it pertains to running and exhaustion and how we leverage that component of exercise in our pursuit to be high performers. So before we jump into this conversation, can you give everybody a background as to who you are and why you're just so darn awesome to be talking about runners and runner burnout and all the things associated with hitting the pavement?
Yeah. So again, I'm Jennifer Tanner. I have chosen to focus on runners because I feel like that platform is something that's easy that we can all do. If you have a pair of running shoes, you can absolutely get out there and hit the pavement. And I'm a runner myself. I've done some marathons. I used to be a triathlete or a tetraathlete. So we're doing running, shooting, horseback riding, and swimming. So I've been there and I see these people burn out all the time.
What does that even mean when we are talking about burning out in the context of running? Because I think the scenario that I see with runners all the time is, oh, you know, I'm stressed with respect to work or my life, and my running is my outlet. And I feel like as a clinician, those people who are already run down, engaging in an activity that is an additional strain on their body is often problematic. Is that what you're talking about when you're talking about the path of runner's burnout?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's just so many things on our plate. And a lot of the runners that I see are more endurance type runners. So they're doing like 5Ks to marathons to ultras, and it's adding to their body burden, right? With so many decisions that we need to make in a day, and that's wearing down on our system. Then we add running in there, which is normally a great release. And like, I know for myself, I usually feel fantastic after a run. I feel calmer. I can think clearer. My energy is fantastic. But when I start pushing those limits, I start trying to go faster. I start trying to go further, which is a chronic disease with runners. We always want to be faster. That's when the burnout starts to kick in. So we're like lacking those nutrients to carry us forward.
And how do we recognize who is at risk for runner burnout versus like, I want people to want to do this form of exercise. And then I know in this group of listeners, we've got people who are running all the time. So What does, like, I'm just a regular runner and it's a great outlet for me look like versus the symptoms of runner burnout?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good question. So there is a great PDF on my Instagram right now exactly about that, but it talks about some of the symptoms that you can keep an eye out for. Like, one, are you injured? You still run anyways. Are you cranky if you don't get your run and you don't get the times or distances that you were hoping for? Are you cranky just kind of in general? Like, is it starting to affect your mood? Do you feel like you are snapping at people? Like, this is one thing that I use for like gauging my levels of burnout. If I am a little bit snappy at the kids, I have three kids. If I find that I'm not quite as patient as I normally could be, then that's my sign that I've got to take a little bit of a step back and see what's going on. Am I pushing the limits too much, or what in my life has to give to create a little bit more of a balance there? So mood is a huge, huge, huge one. Injuries can also indicate burnout as well. It's not always one that we kind of think about, but it's just looking at that, you know, that nutrient load. There isn't as many readily available nutrients to help heal those tissues if we're just pushing the limits all the time.
So what's the solution? Are we getting people to just stop running? Is it like stop and then restart? Like, how are we managing the runner burnout piece?
Depends on the situation. It's very difficult to get a hardcore runner to stop running. So that's not always the solution. Although sometimes people would feel a lot better if they actually did take a step back. But I find with the running is we'll usually have to cut back on the distances and cut back on the times while we're supporting their other systems. So we're building them up, building up their strengths. So one thing that I do with my clients, I spent years developing these protocols to help them become stronger inside. So using like, you know, your typical naturopathic medicine, I work a lot of like gut work with my people, bringing down their inflammatory load. So we tone down on the distances, giving us an opportunity to build things up from the inside so that they can get back to that level that they were used to, or get back into those goals that they are trying to achieve. But I find from like how runners relate to these busy entrepreneurs is running a business is like running an entrepreneur, or running a business is like running a marathon. We're all, even though we're not runners, even though you may not be a runner, we can definitely relate. It takes dedication. It's a whole lot of work. As an entrepreneur, we can easily fall into that same like burnout trap where we're just, you know, always trying to reach that next destination, reach that next goal. That can be tiresome.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, there's two things I want to unpack there. One, you mentioned treating the gut. And I feel like I want to actually talk about the connection between gut issues and runners. I've had a lot of runners in my own practice who have digestive issues, and they always think they're just the only one. They're like, oh, I'm a runner and I happen to have a gut issue. But I kind of feel like there's a connection there. Can we unpack that? And then we're going to talk about recovery protocols for runners. Like, how do we actually, for those people who are like, okay, maybe I'll slow down. We're going to talk next about how we actually get them to recover, but let's focus on the gut piece. Cause is that a thing?
Oh, absolutely. And I find the gut piece goes hand in hand with anxiety quite often in runners. One of the questions that I do ask people, especially if they think that they're running on that burnout phase, is, are you running away from something? And that's a huge piece to the anxiety that might be creeping up that can create those gut dysfunctions. So because running is an impact sport, it is more pro-inflammatory per se, you're running more in that sympathetic mode a lot of the time. So again, those resources are being diverted to your heart, your lungs, and your muscles. And then your digestion just kind of gets set off to the wayside. So there isn't as much effort or direction being put towards there. So absorption starts to be an issue. And just the quality of the digestion, right? The gastric acid can start to suffer. So we're looking at diarrhea tends to be a huge one. And some people that I have, they are either not running their races because they don't know where the next washroom stop is going to be, or they're planning their stops throughout the races. A lot of bloating and upset tummy tends to be go hand in hand with that as well.
How do we get runners out of a sympathetic state?
Great question, because again, that sport, even though it's a bit of a release, it's still putting them into that sympathetic state. So it comes down to the mindset tends to be huge with those people. We need to get them outside of their running windows, looking at their goals and making their goals a little bit more realistic for what's going on with their life at that time. So if we need to address the workload, if we need to address the mindset. So some of the things that I go through from the mindset purpose is I want them to, I have three things. I want them to find their purpose, keep it positive, and lead by example. So I want them like find a purpose. For me, one of my purposes that got me into this in the first place is I got hurt years ago. And when I was basically the way that I got hurt, it's kind of funny. I was skiing. been hurt a few times, but the big one was I was skiing. We went to Tremblant. We packed the van up with a lot of stuff. And back in those days, like we didn't have like Under Armour and stuff. So I packed turtlenecks. I had like so many turtlenecks in my bag. I had blue ones and purple ones and white ones. It was pretty much like the rainbow of turtlenecks. They even had a dickie, kind of like a turtleneck, but without the sweater. It's just like the turtle. But anyways, it was a little bit ridiculous, but I thought it was the bomb back then. But anyways, I was skiing down the hill. My ski kept popping off and I was like, oh, this is super annoying. So I went down to the bottom and I tightened my bindings and I went and did another run and then I fell. And I probably fell because I was so bundled up in all these turtlenecks, like couldn't really limiting my range of motion, but I fell and my ski twisted around. I tore all the ligaments in my knee. And that's where my journey into healthcare started. And it was really interesting because I was getting really frustrated with our system. I wasn't getting the answers that I wanted. I was only being offered two things, surgery and painkillers. And I wasn't really finding if there has to be more options, I thought. And that's kind of where I got into that. And that's where it found me the purpose. And my purpose became really clear as to that running had to have a portion of that is when my father passed away. So I find in situations like that, all of the like buzz and hum of busyness of life becomes a lot more clear. And that's where I thought, you know what? I want to use running as my medium to help people. My mission now is to help people stay moving. So bringing that movement back to medicine is really, really important. So now I help people filter through that busyness of life, pinpointing what's really important. So you think about it, we really only have one chance at this life. And I want to be like dancing my way to the end. I don't want to be looking back and thinking about how busy I was. I want to think how structured and how things that everything that I did had a huge impact. So helping those people rediscover their passions is something that we go through quite often. We talk about like, hey, what did you do as a kid? Because that's where we're super passionate and like full of life for things. And then we'll find something that you feel really wholeheartedly about, something that you're inspired to do. And it encourages that, you know, that endorphin release, those more in that the parasympathetic nervous system. But another thing I like to talk about them with is keeping it positive. Like our mindset is huge. Mindset is everything. I always start my seminars with, "Wow, I Feel Good" by James Dean. It just automatically makes people live, like they're smiling, they're moving. But something like that, it's helping us laugh. It's helping us relax. You know, there's studies with the Canadian Journal of Family Medicine. They have a few studies in there about stress hormones being affected by laughter. Our epinephrine, our norepinephrine, our cortisol is affected. And it's something that we don't do enough. In fact, I had a patient today. I said, "When was the last time you laughed?" They sat and they had to think about it. And I was like, if you have to think about it, then that's something that we need to start changing. Kids, they laugh 300 to 500 times a day. Everything is super funny to a kid. And adults, they laugh about 15 times a day. And it's just kind of like a little, like a little smirk. So something as easy as that can help reduce those stress levels, reduce that burnout, and have fun at the same time.
Yeah, adulting and laughter don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Yeah. And anyone who has kids, they're a great platform to getting back into it, because you could laugh at whatever silliness they are laughing at. And if you don't have kids, hitting like a comedy show or watching a little more lighthearted on Netflix.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is such critical advice. All right. So what I want to understand is, are there people who actually should not be running? So if this is it is a good outlet, and I know you believe that it is so easy access for people, and I agree with you on that. Are there some people who are just like, you should not be running right now?
Absolutely. And that's a really difficult conversation to have with some people for a couple different reasons. One, especially if it's someone who's just gotten back into like fitness and they're using that as their platform, it can be a bit demotivating when you're telling them to not do the activity that they have just started to do. But also for those other sets of people that are really, really kind of like driven and they've got those goals, they want to do like an ultra marathon, but their body's just falling apart in the process. And I have seen people who end up having surgery post these endurance runs. So yeah, there is a case where I'll tell somebody that it might not be the thing for you right now, or certainly not the distance for you. That's quite often a question that we have to ask. Are you in the right sport and are you in the right distance?
Yeah. Fair questions. Can we talk just really briefly for a minute about women in a postpartum period? Because I know women after who are runners who then have a baby, they're like, I just want the okay to get back to running. What's your typical advice from a postpartum perspective as a mom of three?
Yeah. So postpartum, I'll usually have them wait a little bit before they start doing it, you know, just to let themselves recover and heal from the whole delivery process. That's a bit of a big deal, depending whether they've had a C-section or not as well. But once they're starting to feel like, okay, we're good to go, we can start moving again, then we start building them up. We don't always go hardcore, because for multiple reasons, it also can be a bit of a drain on their systems. But it's like the time as well. When you're a new mom, you can't always get out there and do those long distances and put the time in to do it. For myself, I will just pack my kids up into my running stroller and we can go. So with certain running strollers, you can't start using those. You can't start running with them until the baby's about 6 months. But great from like a postpartum depression, you're getting outside, you're getting your vitamin D requirements, you're getting some fresh air, a little bit of a change of scene. And sometimes with those people, will end up using an app like Couch to 5K, where it just builds you up. So somebody may have never done anything before, will build you up, will start you off where you're basically walking for the first couple weeks. Then you start to walk with a little bit of running, and then it turns into running with less walking. And if somebody could get up to that distance, even a 1K, then we can start recommending some of the really cool events that are in and around the city, or most cities will have running events, and they usually have a kiddie portion. So either moms can go and push their kiddies in that section, or they'll allow strollers and you can bring the stroller into the actual run. And for them to be able to finish something like that is a huge sense of accomplishment.
It's awesome. And it's super cool for your kids to be involved, for it to be normalized that you just adapt exercise to having a baby.
Oh yeah. It's really wonderful. Like now my kids are a little bit older, so they actually run with me. I'll do 5Ks with my 8-year-old, and she's just a little machine. And when we finish those runs, the look on their face, they look so confident. It's instilling fitness at a young age, with obesity and diabetes being an epidemic right now. Any way we can get these little guys moving is fantastic.
Yeah, I love that. I'm throwing in there, and I'd love your opinion on it too. I just tell all my new moms, like, no impact until you've had all clear from pelvic floor physio.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that when the first time I had my baby, I was like, oh, everyone else needs that, not me. And I remember I went out for a run at like 6 weeks and I was like, oh gosh, what is happening? And so I was like, okay, you know what? There's no exceptions to this rule. We all, I just feel really strongly. I know you do as well. Like all women benefit from having a pelvic floor physio in that postpartum period. It makes your return to running and any other kind of exercise so much safer for you. in the long run and short term.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I usually have that six week to 6 month window is kind of where I'll get people started up again, depending, like, you know, again, how the delivery was, how the recovery rate is. But even regardless of postpartum or not, I think the pelvic floor aspect is huge with running, and we don't always address it because it is such an impact sport and the gravity is kind of like boom, 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 pulling that pelvic floor down. I will find that also encourages a lot of like incontinence. You know, you're like, you can't run without peeing your pants a little bit, which certainly can be
common, not normal, everyone. Shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Like a lot of your friends may talk about it. They're like, that kind of happened, right? But there is a solution to it. And pelvic floor physio is one of those solutions. But also from like hemorrhoids, I see quite often from people running too much or too soon after a pregnancy. And then also, again, those digestive upsets that can also, because the pelvic floor is all inflamed, it can go either way, constipation or diarrhea. So it could be returned to play a little bit too quick postpartum, or just if you haven't had a baby, it could be that pelvic floor needs a little bit of supporting regardless.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm so glad we touched on that because I feel like with runners, they're looking for permission to get out on the road. This is, you have permission to run, assuming you have the A-OK from your pelvic floor physio.
Yes.
Can we talk recovery? Like, can we talk about the things that runners can do in general to mitigate injury, to lessen the amplitude of inflammation? Are there things that can be thrown into the daily or weekly routine of a runner that are going to help dissipate some of the outcome of their sport?
Absolutely. There's a few easy recovery tips that I just love. One of them is nettle tea. It can really help clear out that lactic acid a little bit, and the buildup of, like, you know, that discomfort and whatnot helps me recover a lot faster with the nutrient density that's in there. So usually I'll have them brew up a tea, drink 1 to 3 glasses post runs in the winter time or the cooler months. Really, really nice as well. Another thing that I'll have them do post-run is contrast showers. We all love those. And I feel like we forget about the simplicity of something like that as well. But again, I find people, one from like a burnout perspective as well, it really helps rejuvenate their energy levels, but clearing out that lactic acid as well. And when those, some people who are more prone to having higher inflammatory loads, it's harder for them to clear that lactic acid out of their system. They feel sore longer. Those are the people that are going to be getting hurt and injured a little bit more as well. With the contrast showers, super basic, have your regular shower, repeat 3 contrasts of hot to cold, where the 3-to-1 ratio, finish your shower on cold, makes your hair shiny as well, but also supports your immune system, which I think is important, especially when people are doing the longer distances as well, because the stressors are taking a bit of a hit on your immune system. With those long distance runners, I'll actually have them eat a lot of red cabbage that helps boost that white blood cell production, so they're not getting sick and hurt after their runs. And then from a supplement perspective, curcumin is something that I turn to quite often for its anti-inflammatory properties.
And do you look at that supplementally, or do you have runners who are like, yeah, I throw curcumin or turmeric into my food or into my diet?
Case by case situation. I do have people that are really sensitive and they will notice just from adding to their diet. There's a few really awesome powdered companies out there that are making curcumin. And when you open the bag, it smells so vibrant. And like when you have it, it's just, it tastes so wonderful. So I'll have them dump 1 or 2 tablespoons or teaspoons into their smoothies. You do have to kind of build up your tolerance to it. If you dump too much in, you're really going to notice that it's
yes,
in
you
there.
Are.
Yeah. So, and then they're always just caution. It's going to stain your blender. It'll stain your shirt if it lands on your shirt. In the wintertime, I'll have them make turmeric lattes, which is a super delicious, healthy alternative to the caffeinated lattes, or I'll have them put it into soups and stews and things like that, especially people with families, because the families don't really know it's in there. It's a great way of hiding it. So ideally, we're looking at getting upwards of 2 tablespoons per day. Sometimes it's a little hard to like palate that. And then we're looking at the supplements, and the supplements we can push the limits to with that one.
Yeah. And that's something that you can determine those supplemental protocols on a case by case basis. And that's the way you want it. Like, you want to do that. And I say this to our listeners all the time, because we always get questions. They're like, what do I take for this? What do I take for that? Listen, like, there's lots of people who are going to tell you, here's the one size fits all solution, but you're going to get the best results when you work with someone who's going to tailor that prescription exactly to your needs.
Yeah, that depends. Are you running casually just for your own fitness? Are you running competitively? How often are you going? And so we'll fluctuate the dosages with the curcumin based around their schedules.
Have you done full ice baths yet?
I have done full ice baths. It's a little harder to convince people to do those, however, but fantastic. I actually had a fantastic case a few months back of a man who tore his hamstring and ended up having knee surgery and hamstring repair. And he took it upon himself. We were doing ice baths, and he was also doing kind of like blood restriction and flow with that. And his recovery was insane. All of his surgeons were just blown out of the water. What did you do? So absolutely a big advocate of the ice bath, but a little bit harder to get. Like, I find even getting contrast showers into people can be a bit of a challenge.
I think you had half the room at It Makes Your Hair Shiny. I can only imagine what will happen to your hair if you have a full ice bath, people. You got to stick with it. I mean, listen, I think that those extreme runners too, you've got a lot of complimentary way. You've got a lot of type A individuals. And so if you say, you know, listen, like, the extreme way to recover is also to submerge yourself in ice to see if you can handle it. I think that we have a challenge on our hands.
Yeah. A nicer version is even going to those spas that have the hot and cold pools, and you can dip your full body into those. Wonderful. You feel like you're at the spa, you're getting relaxed. That sympathetic or parasympathetic nervous system is kicking in. But yeah, otherwise.
Great for your thyroid. Like, get that thyroid under that water. It's a really nice, it's a really incredible recovery from that perspective.
Oh yeah. It kills off some of that brown body fat too.
So is your hair is going to be shiny and you're going to lose weight. I'm telling you, cold baths. It's the way to go. Really quickly, what are some of the common things you are seeing in your runner population that you're like, all right, give me a platform. Let's just address these things in rapid order. What are some of the really common mistakes that you see runners making that you would just love to switch up for them?
Oh, I would love them to not go all out all at once, especially when people are starting off. This is super common. I see people all the time. They're in my office with shin splints. They're in my office with pains and ankle injuries. They're like, you know what? I'm going to do this. Like, the weekend warrior type. I signed up for this race. And then not doing anything until a week before the race.
Right. Check. You've got the mindset in place. It needs two pieces.
Yes. So build appropriately. You shouldn't be building more than 30% in a week for your training schedules. If you're doing more than that, you are definitely prone to injury. And then it totally just sets you back, right? If you're hurt, you can't do that run. Then you can't get the endorphin release and you just kind of feel bummed out. That is the number one thing that I see. The other thing is nutrition totally matters. A lot of people will carbo load, but carbo load with a lot of wheat products. And I love switching that mindset over and carbo loading with a lot of like sweet potatoes, getting the greens in there as well, balancing out those proteins. So switching up that old school carbo load mindset can have a big impact on their performance.
Quality carbs,
exactly.
Amazing. Anything else that we are collectively doing that you're like, come on?
Oh yes, people turn into camels as well when they are running. So we don't store all that water. You do need to replenish that water, or the total opposite, where someone's like, I'm going to go out for a 1K and they've retrofitted themselves with like 6 water bottles. And that's like a workout in itself. So learning to hydrate appropriately is an important factor as well.
And do you recommend people add anything to their water or just water straight up?
Depends on the situation again, but a lot of times I'll either have them do a powdered magnesium formula into their water. I use that for myself in particular, because once I start getting over 10K, I'm more prone to headaches because my muscles start to tense up. My positioning and my gait isn't as adequate as it should be. So by having some of that magnesium, it helps relax those muscles. And then I'm less likely to fall into a headache zone. Or I'll have them put some sort of electrolyte mix into their water bottles as well. So they're replenishing as they're going, and they recover a whole lot faster. They're less likely to get into that burnout zone. And their energy is like jammed right after. It feels fantastic. I do love throughout races to replace those goos and things, those like chewy energy things that they'll have on course. I'll replace those with maple syrup based energy gels. They are fantastic. They don't have maltodextrin in it. They're less likely to cause some GI upset. That's a big mistake. And I made that one too in my first marathon. Every like 5K or so, they've got these samples. I was like, oh, this is awesome. They're giving us like things on the course. So I like downed a couple of them. And then for about 5 kilometers after that, I was in so much pain. My gut was just like twisted inside. I thought, I will never do that again. Race day is not a good day to sample new products.
That right there, if you hear nothing else, you long distance racers, you, that is gold. Are you making these maple syrup thingamabobs yourself? Clearly, I'm like not. I'm not down with the lingo. Are you making these yourself, or are there actual things on the market made of maple syrup?
It's a lot easier to just buy the ones on the market. Yeah, you can make it yourself. There's 2 or 3 really awesome products that you can get at most of the big sports stores. They are maple syrup based. They put a little bit of salt in there and a little bit of ginger for some anti-inflammatory properties, both for the gut and muscle perspective. And they taste fantastic. I find they also give you this nice, clean energy where you're not, sometimes with those other chewies and whatnot, you get this like burst of energy and then a crash, where you don't get that crash with the maple syrup based ones.
That's great to know, because while I don't do running races, I do long cycling rides. And I find that the gels are just, they're so revolting.
Yes. Yeah. They don't really taste very good, but these other maple syrup based ones, they taste fantastic. It sits so nicely. Cyclists are huge culprits of that too. They're just always packing things in their spandex while they're out.
We're always packing things in our spandex. Leave it to the Canadians to tell you guys to be having maple syrup on your rides and on your runs. Jen, I think this is a really perfect time to transition in the interview. So the last part of the interview is something we call our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business and in our training schedules, I believe we also have them in how we live our lives. So I've got a few rapid fire questions coming your way. You ready?
Okay, bring it.
Who is inspiring you right now?
Oh, right now, well, I still have to go with my dad, because he just left on such a positive note that really resonates for me. But from the athletic realm, I'm really into horseback riding, and I don't know if anybody else is, but Ian Miller is this guy that just never quits. Like, he has been Captain Canada for the last 30 years and has just monopolized the sport. So this man is in his 70s and he's still riding at the Olympic level. So that's pretty inspiring, I find.
Yeah, I love that. If your dream is to be in the Olympics forever, then I feel like
he's pretty much accomplished that.
Right. Equestrian is maybe the route you want to take. Fiction or nonfiction, what's your favorite genre and what are you reading right now?
All nonfiction stuff right now. And what did I just finish? You're a badass at, what's that one? Badass at?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of making money.
Yeah.
Running marathons.
Line. Yes.
Yeah. Jen Sincero's built a great line of mindset books from that perspective.
Yes. Yes. Because I find the mindset from that business entrepreneur perspective really transforms over into the athletics. You still have to have that focus, that strategy, that drive.
100%. It's all high performance. Like it's just different outlets for it. Totally. Mm-hmm. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Play is one of the things that I find key. So I am like a huge fun run advocate. I'm always looking for like those mud runs or those like warrior dash, those kinds of like challenges, and doing it with my family. That's always key. I have to incorporate them. If they're getting left out, something's wrong.
Play. You are a girl after my own heart.
Yeah.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
This is my favorite question. Everyone's just stumped. All my talkers are like, huh?
I competed nationally in equestrian sports.
Amazing.
I travel a lot. That's pretty cool. I'm not actually born in Canada. I was born in Bahamas, which is really something that's kind of cool.
Well, why did you stay here?
I know, exactly. It's always in the back of my mind if and when I'm going back.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that'd be in the back of my mind well.
I think it would be a fantastic retreat.
Yes,
spot.
Yes. Keep us up to date on that. Everyone's like, yeah, teach me how to run in the Bahamas. I'm all in. Last question for you. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Ooh, I think some people are definitely born, but if you don't have that innate born ability, I think you can definitely learn the ins and outs.
I love it. Dr. Jennifer Tanner, you've got so much amazing knowledge. The runners are all like, tell me where to go. Where do I go to learn more about what you're up to?
You can hit up my website, www.drjenniferTannerND.com, and you'll find how to contact me there.
Awesome. And we'll hook everyone up with that address in our show notes, which are over on MeganWalker.com/podcast/episode133. Jen, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Megan.
If you enjoyed today's episode, like always, we would so appreciate a review. If you can head over to Apple Podcasts and leave your thoughts about the Anthropology Podcast, this is the absolute best way for us to be able to continue to reach more people with high quality, free information. We also love hanging out on Facebook. You can hang out over on our Anthropology page. You can share with us some of the ideas and episodes and concepts that you would love for us to cover in future episodes. And always, I am hanging out on Instagram at Dr. Megan Walker. We're going deep on all things badass, health, business, all the things that move you forward as seasoned go-getters.